Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa Dion. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Podcast. I hope you are well this week. Thanks for tuning in. It's so great to have you here. Today, we are chatting with Kirsten Daly. I have the pleasure of having her here with me today. Kirsten is a graduate from this year's Menstrual Coach Academy. She finished up the course in early 2026. And yeah, I'm really excited to get into the nitty gritty with Kirsten because it's just so interesting to hear about her journey of menstrual cycle work, menstruality, her personal experience, her background, and her experience on the program. So you're very welcome, Kirsten. How are you doing?
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well. Yeah, I feel like spring has sprung. The seasons definitely changed. The weather is warmer. The sun is out. The days are longer. So yeah, feeling good.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it, to have that spring energy? Because we were on the course most of the winter. You know, and it was very wet winter this year in the UK and Ireland. So yeah, it's nice to see the shift in energy. Okay, well, great to have you. And thanks so much for being here. So I'd love for you to just introduce yourself to the listener, who you are, just a little, whatever feels good for you to share about your background.
Okay. So I'm Kirsten. I'm a teacher. I'm actually trained as a languages teacher, Spanish and French, for secondary school. And I love teaching. I love the teenage students that I work with. I like to sort of keep up to date with what they're thinking about, what they're experiencing, how the world is, you know, feeling to them right now with technology and how they cope. And I am also really, really interested in sort of natural remedies and health. I've always been so. My mother would always prefer a natural remedy instead of reaching for a paracetamol for a headache. You know, have you tried stepping outside? Here's a glass of water. And she was a firm believer in natural childbirth as well and breastfeeding. And so I kind of followed her steps. I'm a mother and I have two lovely children. I have a daughter who's 20 now and a son who's 17. And I live in Northwest London with them and my husband and my two lovely pets that that keep me grounded and relaxed as well.
That's a beautiful intro, Kirsten. Really nice to get for everyone to get a flavor of who you are and where you come from and what matters to you. I loved how you said about your work as a languages teacher. It sounds like you are really tuned into teenagers, you know, and what's going on. Like, so could we maybe dive into that a little bit more? You as a languages teacher, how long have you been a teacher for?
I think we're coming up to maybe my 29th year teaching.
Oh, my God, Kirsten.
yeah.
So
I think I
started
in 1997.
Wow, 97. Okay. So please tell us. What I'm curious about is, what have you seen in your, like, kind of in terms of how teenagers are and how they relate? Because I know we're going to be talking about your menstruality work as well. And what got you to that? But yeah, what's your experience of that age group?
I think they feel a bit like they're not trusted, or they don't really get listened to well. Or that their voice doesn't matter. And in my experience, they are really thoughtful. They are looking around and seeing what's happening in the world. They'd like to sit and talk about it, and they'd like to give their opinions. and they're coping. You know, a lot of the news items are going on and on about telephone use, the internet, what they're exposed to. But what I see for the majority of the time is that they're quite good at working stuff out on their own. You know, sometimes they will come off apps if they feel like it's making them dysregulated or nervous. You know, they'll take TikTok off their phone for a while because they know that it's not doing them any good. You know, they will have some phone hygiene habits to do with studying and to do with communicating with friends. And I think my main thing is really that we should listen to and trust them more than we do, and not sort of, you know, do them down. I think that's, you know, they've got a lot to say, and they're also seeing the world very differently to the way we do in terms of what the landscape is going to be like for their careers, for their job paths. You know, when my daughter was born, there are jobs now that didn't exist when she was born 20 years ago. You know, things are moving so fast. But they're paying attention. They're interested, and you know, they want to contribute to the world, really.
Wow, I love that. You sound like such a great teacher who really sees their students. You know, I love that. Okay, so tell us then a bit about your journey to the world of menstruality and all of that. Did it come from students, or was it a personal journey? I'm curious about that.
So I think my initial introduction to really paying much more attention to the menstrual cycle was through, I think it was actually on the Happy Place podcast with Fern Cotton. And she interviewed the author Maisie Hill, who just published a book called Period Power. And the conversation was just eye-opening, intriguing to me. And I started a habit that I've kept of hearing something on a podcast and rushing out and buying the book immediately and devouring it.
Was that about 2019, 2020? Yeah.
It was before lockdown. So I would have been in my sort of early 40s. So I'd had my two kids. I was, you know, a sort of young mum, kids still at primary school. I was still cycling as well. And I read it, and one of my first reactions was rage, actually, because I was just so annoyed that I didn't have all of that sort of information when I was much younger. You know, I would have loved to have known, maybe using the language of the inner seasons, which comes from Red School originally. And just how to take care of yourself through the whole month. You know, we're so fixated with just the week that we're actually on our periods, and maybe we worry a little bit about a little bit of premenstrual tension beforehand. But for me, it was just eye-opening that there was so much more about my body that no one had really ever known to tell me. And my second thought after reading it was, I've got to go and make sure that other little 12-year-olds find this stuff out in time and can take care of their bodies. And it would, you know, it's game-changing information, really.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that I see that. So you had, like, obviously a lot of connection with that age group because of your work, but also being a mom, etc., and the type of teacher you are. And then you came across this work, and then you have that background and or the your own upbringing with kind of alternative, not alternative, but like holistic ways, natural ways of looking at the body and your well-being, and then your mum's inspiration. And then you felt I love that you say that you felt the rage. I've heard that a few times, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, that when you discover this work, it does ignite a rage of, how come we've never heard of this before? Why have we been lied to, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I've been on quite a journey with it since, I guess, you know, it's been, you know, maybe 7 years now. And I've been really, you know, that was just the spark that ignited. I've been really looking at lots of other things about that too, including feminism. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first you can be enraged that other women haven't told you these things, but really it was because it was blocked. You know, the information, it's not that it was out there and it was a secret. It was almost like we didn't even really know to share with each other because of the way the world had been set up. And, you know, perhaps our mum's generation always believing everything that, you know, a male GP would tell them. You know, you take that as read. You would never question that there might be a different path for that one. So obviously, you know, it's the idea of the patriarchy keeping
And all of the authority structures, right? I remember being a little, I actually have a memory of my mom bringing me to the GP, like the male doctor. And it was like, make sure your shoes are clean and you're wearing clean, you know, clean clothes. We're going to the doctor. And she was there like polishing my shoes. Oh, just to like be respectful, I suppose, or impressed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something important.
Like the scary man, you know, we have to be good. Yeah, a bit like kind of in the way that we would have related to priests in Ireland. It was the doctor was kind of the same, that kind of authority in the town, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So you mentioned you've been on a journey since. So would now be a good time to expand on that? I'm wondering. Curious about that.
I joined, it was called the Flow Collective then. It's now called Powerful, which is Maisie Hill's private membership group. And yeah, she'd kind of just written the first book, Period Power. And then I just became such a girl fan that I loved what she was saying. So I was in the membership and we did a lot of work to do with the menstrual cycle and then more soulful or spiritual things as well that surround that. So, you know, the inner seasons and sort of shadow work and working on yourself mentally as well. And then all the sort of pillars of health that you can, you know, you can lean into during all of the weeks of the months of your period. And I also, when lockdown came, a friend of mine said that she was going to volunteer on an online conference, and it was embodied wellness. I think it was called the Embodiment Conference with Mark Walsh. And I don't think anything else like it has happened since. And I think it probably was able to happen because of lockdown. But he brought together, I think it was 4 days worth of healers, holistic practitioners from all different aspects of wellness and life. And it really just, it opened my eyes to so many things because they were referencing Peter Levine in terms of polyvagal theory. They were also referencing Deb Dana and somatic work. And that was really a kind of an explosion for me. And because it was lockdown, I mean, I was working from home and using Zoom and stuff for lessons, but I had more time. So I really could lean into things. I could journal. I could write things down. I could sort of self-study in a way. Mm-hmm. So anything that sparked my interest, I just went and kind of found out more about it. And really held on to the things that were speaking to me and the things that I thought, wow, somebody is really giving language here to something that maybe I've always felt or known, but I, you know, couldn't work out really what was going on. So then the nervous system work was really pivotal. I thought it was really, really good, really important. And it's something that when we went back to work, I carried over into my teaching, into schoolwork. So even though it's, you know, a Spanish lesson, I was a form tutor as well in school. So I could teach the students a little bit, you know, a simplified version of the ladder and how you can move through different emotions and feelings during the day, and also teaching ways to move from each zone, you know, with breathing techniques or some kind of yoga or balancing, you know, little techniques that the students could get into.
Oh, so
and that had a really good impact.
Yeah, you were offering that when you say you were a form teacher, does that mean you were kind of like the teacher for that particular year? the main, the form group?
Yes. Yeah, so you have one class that you sort of take through from year seven all the way and see them for sort of 20 minutes for registration every day.
Oh, lovely. So that's not your Spanish teaching time. That's a different type of like mentorship that you teaching and
Yes.
mentorship. Okay. Wow, Kristen, I love that. Your students must have really, well, I'm sure they still do. They must have loved you and bringing that into the classroom. And were they open to it?
Yes, I mean, I think because I sort of would make it a bit fun and almost gamify things, you know, it's kind of just like, everybody stand up, you know, let me show you how to do some deep breaths.
Yeah.
Let's see how long we can stand on one leg for. And, you know, there were some giggles and stuff, you know, after a while. And if there were days when I kind of forgot, or a week when I forgot, they'd be saying, when are we doing our funny dance routine? Or, you know, they'd miss it. So they say, come on, can we do that again?
Yeah, it's like, this is owed to us now. This is our thing now. Their way of appreciating. Yeah, I love that. Okay, great. So you followed your curiosity. You were doing a lot of inner processing work through the different programs and teachings and books and podcasts and all the things you were following and learning a lot. And I imagine you were, at that stage, were you in menopause or perimenopause? Was that kind of on the horizon, or was there stuff internally coming up for you as well in that journaling and everything?
Yeah, so I guess one of the reasons for the rage and feeling a bit hard done by when I read, you know, Period Power was that I was in my 40s and I was like, great, you know, I learn all of this and how many periods have I actually even got left? So then, you know, there was a section in the book actually about perimenopause and what starts to happen, you know, later on. So I had, that really, you know, piqued my curiosity. So probably from about 2018, 2019, I was really finding out lots of information. And I feel like I'm going to be 55 this year, but I've come through. I'm sort of the same age as a lot of people who are bringing really excellent information into the media, into the public eye. You know, this is a great time for me to be in my 50s, really, because it's the conversation is open and there's so much information out there. The idea of shame and taboo and secrecy, you know, mustn't talk about those sort of things. That's kind of going by the wayside now. So it's a much more open topic, and people are really aware of what's happening and that it isn't just a hot flash that you have when you're, you know, 61 or something, which I think is what most people didn't really consider, but that's what they would have written it off as before. So that was something that I really got interested in. And so then my next sort of guru or a person that I really looked to is Kate Codrington. So I'd got hold of a couple of books that were about menopause, but when I read Second Spring, it really had a lovely impact on me, because I think a lot of the books that I had read before were very almost biological. So it's, this is exactly what's happening with the hormones, this is what's happening inside your body. But, you know, Kate really sees it as a portal, as a life stage, as a whole thing that you're going to go through. It's not just something that is changing in your womb and your ovaries. And, you know, that had a massive impact on me. And I just thought, yes, we're just bringing everything together. You know, we're bringing the mind, the soul, the seasons around us, the earth, and just thinking about how to step into the next phase, really. And I think Second Spring's really lovely. It comes from the Japanese, I think, actually. But if you think about the, you know, the feminine archetypes of spring being the maiden, so that would be maybe just around menarche, the first period, and then that kind of youthful energy of, but also sometimes tricky energy of puberty. And there's a lot about it, you know, there's quite good education about what's going to happen to your body when you're a tween and then you're moving into being a teenager. So second spring is like the opposite side. You know, I kind of think about menopause as reverse puberty, because the stuff that's happening in your body is now turning off or going less. And there are still as many things that are difficult to cope with in perimenopause as there were in puberty.
Mm.
So I really like that expression. I think it's a great one to talk about perimenopause and menopause.
Absolutely. I love that you mentioned that. I love that you've mentioned all of that. We're a big fan of Kate here. Hi, Kate.
Yeah.
Friends with Kate as well. And I think there's such a need, isn't there, for that light to be shone on the transition nature of this, what is biology, but it's not just biology. It is a transition. It's emotional, psychological, spiritual, as much as it is physical. And I think we can get really lost in the science and in the head and in the information, and then lose sight of how we hold ourselves in all of that, you know? Okay, so that was obviously, that really touched you, that her perspective, her way of writing, of course, her, you know, all of that. It sounds like you were able to then really weave these things together in your own body and mind, the different perspectives from the scientists, the trauma stuff, the Kate's perspective. It sounded like it was kind of coming together for you, was it?
Yes, I think, you know, everything makes a lot of sense. And I'm really interested in this idea of the wheel. So it's almost everything I encounter has the shape of a circle.
Mm.
And I feel like one day I'm going to create something that's sort of an overlay, so that you might start with the seasons of weather, you know, of the year, and thinking about how you feel in each season. We're really lucky where we live, because we have very definite four seasons to do with temperature and weather and what the nature around us looks like. And then overlay it with the inner seasons. So what's happening, you know, to a female body during each phase of the month. And then you can overlay it with seasons of life. So the archetypes of, you know, maiden, mother, and then Jane Hardwick Collings has added in a word, marga, now. Oh. For the autumn, so the kind of peri, and then crone for winter, because I don't think you can, I think it's good, because you can't really jump from mother to crone. There has to be something else there.
In between, yeah.
And then that's also really neat for the four compass points. Mother of teenagers, yeah. or woman taking care of elderly parents,
yeah.
Things
like that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, okay.
And you can just keep going. Like every time I look at other things, you can just keep overlaying that, and it always seems to be this kind of north, south, east, west, and that, you know, each compass point has a different vibe. And it doesn't matter if you know about them, but if you do know about them and you want to pay attention to them, I think it can be really helpful.
Absolutely. And it really orients you in where you are in something in your life, doesn't it? It can really help you ground. And so if you're like what Kirsten is talking about, you could be at a particular season in your life in a relationship. You could be dating somebody, but you could also be a mom, or you could be in the kind of summer, autumn phase of your career or something. So there's like different places we can be. And I think for me, practically speaking, it helps me, well, understand that and also have grace and patience with myself, with where things are and how I think things should be, you know, and not be rushing. Like, and I think that's one of the biggest lessons we've got from the inner seasons work, is to not be rushing through autumn and winter, whether that's in our bodies or in the winter itself, right?
Yes.
And honor that flow of energy. I love that. So you're becoming a student of all of this work, developing your own perspectives, having your own embodied experience, Kirsten, and then working with the students you're working with. And then you've got teenagers too in the house, you know, so there's that going on. So what then? So did you start, because I know you had the Girls Up Club. Did that come later, or was that always, tell us a little bit about that.
So I was working, by then I was working in a school, so it did come later. It came after lockdown. And so it would have probably been 2023 or four, something like that. And at my school, we all staff could offer a club, and you could completely make it up if you wanted to. So, you know, the maths teacher might be teaching yoga, or the chemistry teacher might be a really good baker and do a bake-off for 6 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Which I thought was lovely, because every other school I've been in, I just always had to end up doing Spanish club again. So it was more Spanish.
Oh, yeah. And it's nice the students see you as another person as well. Like, there's different parts to you, and you're also human and you've got interests. You're not just only the dictionary, you know, obviously more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not
just only
a math teacher or just a Spanish or just a like a chemistry teacher. You've got other things going on. So you decided to do this.
Yes. So I invented a club that I just wanted to invite the girls. So obviously I was teaching between year 7 and year 11. So the oldest kids are turning 16. And usually I was able to kind of aim it at the sort of 15, 16-year-olds. So for me, the sweet spot was actually year 10. So almost all of them had already got their period. So I wasn't sort of pre-teaching this is what's going to happen when, but I wanted to bring in, okay, so you've got your period, but I bet all you do is focus on the week that you're bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought that that might be the case. And so I created a course. So each half term is usually about 6 or 7 weeks. So I created sort of 6 slide decks, and we went through different aspects. So I wanted to give them the language of the inner seasons, first of all. And obviously anything that I'd taken and learnt from other people, I then adapted that to teenagers. Mm. So, you know, instead of saying, I don't know, when you're ovulating around summertime, in a summer, this is a great place to do a presentation to your boss. You know, I would say maybe if you get chosen to do assembly, see if you can make them do it the week of your inner summer.
So you were speaking to your audience. I love that.
Yeah. So I adapted it for, you know, this is a good time to do this. And this is a time to kind of avoid doing this if you can. If you know, you sometimes you can't help it, but
yeah,
if you can.
Reason, like, yeah, yeah.
And then also, like you said, if you have to, then give yourself a bit of grace, because you probably will find it hard to do a certain task, you know, when you're bleeding or the few days before that, something like that. And so I gave them the language of the seasons. One day it did backfire on me, though. I had two funny things. So one girl was in my group, but she was also in my Spanish lesson. And she walked in and it was going to be a vocabulary test. And she said, "Miss, I'm sorry, it's day 21. I'm in autumn. I don't think I'm going to do very well on this test. I just didn't feel like revising last night, you know?" Starting to get in the cave, and I'm like, no, this is coming back against me. And then I had a lovely success story where somebody came and told me that they'd talked to their crush and they'd been waiting and a bit nervous, but they waited for their inner summer. So they're like, I went on like day 13 and I went and I talked to my crush and it was successful. So I was like, yeah.
Brilliant.
Celebrating with them. So yeah, that was really good. And we talked about other things. So we talk about making really good decisions of period products. You know, I sort of tell them about landfill and things that are better, like biodegradable, things that are better for your skin as well. And for me, that's super important, because what you start in your teens to use for your periods, you can end up using the whole time, the rest of the time. Whereas, you know, really gently trying to promote period pants, or even when they're slightly older, maybe a moon cup. Mm. That's, you know, I think that was really nice. And they're quite interested in the environment. So I think that was good information. And to be honest, a lot of them are already thinking about that. You know, there are a lot of girls who already were using the pants, and they would talk to the other girls about how they were getting on with it, and they could ask any questions that were, you know, sometimes they might think that they're embarrassing things to talk about, but it was a safe space. So we could talk really, really openly, you know, about the practicalities of using any of those sort of products as well.
What a beautiful gift to bring into the school, Kirsten. Honestly, like, I know a lot of people listening have terrible memories of being in school and struggling with their period and hiding. And I remember feeling so awkward and embarrassed when I had pain, or I was in a very sporty school as well. So there's always pressure to, you know, to not have that as an issue.
Keep going.
Yeah, push through, keep going, perform well in your exams as well. All of there's just a lot of pressure to have a space where young girls can connect, can listen to you, can, you know, just even if they don't say anything, just to have a space where this is talked about and they can learn is so, I think it's really healing on a kind of collective level, you know, so it's great. So you're a graduate of the Academy from last year. So I'd love to hear a bit about what brought you onto the course then. So you had a lot of personal experience and then now you're kind of coming into professional experience. So yeah, what was your reason for joining the program?
So I had been thinking about kind of, well, using the knowledge and making it more organized into a certification. And then that would open up a different career path for me as well. So I wanted to sort of formalize my knowledge and think about how I could use it. So obviously I've been running the Girls Up Club, and in my mind I was thinking this might be something I could make bigger into a membership or into a regular, you know, paid private course for sort of 6 weeks or something. So that thought had already come. But alongside of working with the girls, you know, when I'm working with the girls who are about sort of 15, 16, it means that a lot of their mums are between 40 and 50 as well. And so I was thinking, well, you know, I have a lot of knowledge about menopause now. And I think I'd really like to be able to help women of that age group as well. And with that sort of life phase that's happening. And, you know, having the knowledge can be quite helpful with my friends as well. And they always say, oh, some, you know, I remember what you told me the other day. Well, that really helped. So I knew that that was having a good impact. But what I really wanted was to think about coaching and how I could learn how to put my skills and my knowledge into that kind of area in order to create business, to create, you know, a coaching path. And so I looked around. I think there are probably, I don't know if it's just in the UK, but when you look around, I think there are at least five people who I believe from research would do a really good job of running the coaching course. You know, a lot of people have the same content, but the reason why I really liked your course, Lisa, and was really attracted to it was the sort of, I'm going to show you how to have a coaching business. Because a lot of other schools and academies will give you the information, which I kind of felt that I already had quite a good grasp on. What I was looking for was how to use that confidently to help other people. And also, you know, to do something independently. I've always been in the, you know, the public school system in England. So you're working for the government. It's a very sure job. It's a very secure wage that you can count on. I've never even thought about doing something to work for myself and have a business idea like that. So for me, that's been, you know, quite a step into the unknown and a bit risky. And I just thought if I could be guided and given some kind of confidence and also education on how that could be, then that would be fantastic, you know. And what I've really loved, so that already led me to you, but then having done the course, what I loved even more is that everything that you teach to do with safety, the nervous system, living with your rhythms, you know, being very mindful and compassionate to yourself, that even floods into running the business. So it's not, you know, we teach this, but we hustle for the business. It wasn't like that at all. It's like, we're going to apply everything that's being taught here to everything that you're going to be doing on a day-to-day business as a businesswoman, you know?
Yeah, well, you should speak to my accountant. It's not always like that every day. Yeah, no, I also don't. That's wonderful, Kristen. Sorry, I interrupted you there. Were you going to say something else?
I just think it gives me a lot of peace to think that you can have a goal of making money in a way that's aligned with your values, that you're kind of walking the walk, you know what you're talking about, but you're also applying all of those techniques to the way you treat yourself as your own business manager and the way that you put your offerings out into the world. And I'd never thought that that was something possible before. I just thought that's so exciting.
I guess I love that you're saying that, actually, because, well, yeah, I do. We do talk about that, don't we, in the program. I think about business in a very particular way, and it's like it's an extension of you, really, you know, and it's just a load of decisions, but it's very informed, both informed and intuitive gut decisions we're making all the time. And yeah, it can be really hard, but it does require, going back to what Kristen was saying, that, you know, the seasons, it does require an engagement with the yin and the yang, like the masculine, the feminine, the dark moon, the light moon. We have to take action. And that can be, for people listening to this podcast, I bet, like, that's one of the biggest struggles in our world, like in the wellness, holistic mindfulness space, is that we kind of tell ourselves, oh, everything needs to be zen and calm and slow all the time. But actually, no, we can be in healthy action and momentum and pacing. And being fast is okay. But then we also have to kind of like let go of the control or trust or pause or wait or intuit, you know, that can be hard too. So I love that you took to that, and that was, you could see that, and it's not disconnected, like the way we coach and the decisions we make in coaching also inform, or how we design, like as an example, how you design your coaching package will also inform things like your pricing and how you then make those decisions in your business. So did that become, was it helpful? Did it become more clear to you as we progressed in the program?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I loved it. I thought that was just it was just really attractive to me to be able to think like that, and almost quite freeing, because there had been quite a lot of fear for me in, you know, even the word business for me sounds quite masculine and, you know, that kind of hustle culture. And so to be invited to look at it in a different way was great.
Amazing.
But also what I really loved was practicing coaching, and also just every topic we did. I think it was by the second kind of module, and I was thinking, you know, I love nerding out about all of this subject matter anyway. So even if there were some times when I felt like I already knew it, I didn't mind, because we were still talking, and I loved being in community with the other members who were on the course as well, because everyone brings something else and a new kind of idea, and we talk about it together. But I was like, it's time to stop nerding out, really. Every module, I should be seeing, how is this going to help me be a better coach? So then when I sort of slightly changed that lens, so that everything that came, I was coming at it from, you know, this is the information that's great, but what am I going to do with it? How am I going to use this when I'm coaching? How am I going to, why is it useful for making decisions in my business? And I think once I slightly just shifted from, oh, I'm really enjoying, you know, all these sort of lectures and this information, and thought, no, come on, this is why you came here. to be a coach. So every single thing we do, why is this useful as a coach? How are you going to use it? You know, why is Lisa presenting the information this way? So that's, yeah, and I think that's what made me get a lot out of it.
Amazing, Kristen. Wonderful dream student for me. No, so good. So, because my goal, like that I have in my head, is I want my students to learn how to think like a coach and think like a business owner, as opposed to, Lisa, just tell me what to do. Because that, mm-hmm. like, that's only going to get you so far. You'll get 3 months out of it and then you're kind of on to the next program, you know, whereas if you or whoever like really starts to practice those skills that you're talking about, coaching skills, and then the intersection of coaching and business, which is what we're talking about, you do become more equipped, more skilled, more confident, and you see yourself then as CEO, seasoned practitioner, very experienced coach. And those things are true because we're actually doing them in the, and then you of course had your own experience. I think it's one of the best things you can do is to learn how to like think in a particular way, isn't it, Kristen?
Yes. And I think that's another thing that I found really just, it gave so much safety and containment, was your reassurance that the process is so important. So, you know, sometimes, again, it's really anti-hustle culture. You know, we're going to do this course, we're going to do an exam, then you're going to go and use it for a job. No, you know, we're going to learn something, and you are actually being successful and working hard if you spend the next 2 weeks thinking about it. Just thinking, you know, you're on the train. You're thinking about it. It's cogitating. It's stewing. You're coming to ideas. You're coming to realizations. I don't know, a situation occurs and you apply something you've learned to that situation. You know, you react to somebody in a different way. You respond to somebody in a way that you might if you were going to coach them rather than, you know, without being very mindful about the way you communicate with people. So you go, oh, I tried that and that worked. And, you know, coming from formalized sort of education, which are based on success in GCSE exams or A-levels, I just, again, it was a refreshing way to look at how to learn something and how it's going to actually embed, you know, in your mind and how you can then integrate it.
Integrate it and then share and then pay it forward, right, to your groups and your people. It's music to my ears because I'm so passionate about that point you're making, that like if I take a step back from my own work for a second and I ask myself this question a good bit, which is, you know, what's this work all about? And then really it is about the disempowerment of the menstrual cycle, whatever language you want to put around that. So what's the medicine for that is then empowerment. And if we're going to have a learning process that feels disempowering or that just follows an old model that in its nature is a bit disempowering or very like, you know, the power balance is off between the student and the teacher, I just don't think we're getting the medicine then, do you know? So that those old models might work for other subjects, but for this particular subject, I think it's really important that the approach we take in the learning, that approach, because you being a teacher, you know that teaching pedagogies and different schools of thought have their own like life, you know, and their own impact on how we internalize and absorb and take things in. That more bottom up approach, I think, is really powerful. So I'm very grateful to you to being open and patient with me and trusting me with that, because not everyone gets it and not everyone is open to it. And then, you know, that's another challenge. But I just think that the payoff is that we get the best results in terms of the menstrual cycle. Because like you said, otherwise we're just learning off more science and information, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But it's not really going to get us anywhere if we don't know how to process or how to be in relationship with that stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that, Kristen. It's so great to hear. If someone is listening to this and they're thinking about taking the course, what would you say to them?
I would say that they should go for it. I mean, there's so many benefits. There's so much that you'll get out of taking the course. So it depends where you're at in your own journey. But I think, I mean, I didn't even reflect, I haven't reflected with you here just now, that everything that you're learning on the course, you can actually apply to yourself. Mm. So, you know, there are some people who came onto the course who have been struggling with some, issues to do with female reproductive health. And just from being on the course, they've actually reflected on things that can help them. So again, you know, like this word medicine, you're saying just the learning, if they're applying it to their own lives, and also being with the other women who can talk to them. And, you know, we have so many chances to get together. We have the lecture days, but then we also have process groups, which are smaller. So you get to know over 6 months, you get to know your group. And it's usually, you know, about seven people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so you get to know each other in a bit more of a closer, intimate way. And I think, Lisa, you make such a safe container that people very quickly relax into being open, speaking really openly about personal challenges, you know, to practice coaching on each other. Quite often we're asked, would you like to bring something? Would you like to be the one who's coached? Would you like to bring, you know, an issue or something that you've been worrying about or something you're going through? And people feel like they can say it, and they feel like they can trust you, and they can trust the other people in the group to hold that trust, you know, confidentiality, safety. And then we can come to kind of group support. You know, people bring lots of different ideas, and when we have goes at coaching, everybody has slightly different coaching styles as well. And I think, you know, that's really nice to see. I mean, for me, one of my biggest impacts is that there was some coaching practice in the group, and I was listening at this point. And when we finished, I said, oh, I wouldn't have done it like that. You know, in my head, I was sitting there taking notes, and I was like, that's not what I would have done. That wasn't my approach. And then I left a pause. So I reflected on it and came back to it the next day. And I'd been thinking, and I realized why the other woman had had the approach that she had, and then why it was actually successful. Mm-hmm. And a different way, that a different approach that somebody might need. So I loved that, because, you know, if it had been one-to-one training me to be a coach, I would never have come across other people's approaches or other people saying why it was helpful that the pretend coach, you know, pursued that path. And that gave me loads of ideas. So I was writing things down afterwards. Yeah, okay, this a client who's in that kind of headspace, this is maybe what they would need first. And I'm not changing myself. I wouldn't go against who I'd be, but it was just another aha moment of seeing that. And yeah, it's lovely to learn in the community of the other women.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful reflection, Kristen. Thank you for sharing that. And it does remind me that coaching, even though there are like principles in coaching that we talk about and skills, and then the trauma-informed practice is obviously really important. And, you know, there's certain things we have to know and practice and get sort of versed in. But ultimately, like, an artist, you know, the artist knows how to use their tools, but then they have their own flair and their own style and their colors and all that. And it's the same in coaching. I think it's a kind of an art form with boundaries around it, of course. And you've explained that so well. And yeah, and I hope that for people on the course, it's a place where you, like we've said, we're not telling you exactly what to do, but you learn who your own authentic inner voice and coach is. And then applying that to ourselves, you know, coaching ourselves and our own journey and our cycle, which is really important. And then, and or paying it forward and sharing it with your community, which actually, as you know, helps us to integrate the work even more, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us then, before we go, just a little bit about where you're at now in terms of the club and what you're doing with the program, where you're bringing the work.
So, yeah, I mean, another reason I would say for going on the course is that I'm ready. Like, I feel ready to launch now. So you have given so much guidance and there's so much to keep. So there's a couple of sections of the course, which is an online manual, which I kind of refer to as the Bible. So that's going to be, I know that that is going to be something I come back to. So, you know,
you,
when I'm
compliment.
First starting,
what a compliment. Thank you.
But, you know,
I'm
when
taking it because I did put a lot of work into that manual.
It's a work of art.
Thank you.
No, but it will. I know that I will. I feel secure that when I want to, even if I approach my first paying client, you know, that's where I'll be looking. I'll be looking at the notes. I will be going through almost like a checklist. Have I made sure these conditions have been made? You know, is it going to be a safe container? What if I said that will happen? What have I stated that definitely won't happen? You know, I'm not medically trained, so that's going to be something. And then there's in the manual as well, there's packages for the kind of practical nitty-gritty stuff like insurance and the other things that definitely have to happen. And someone like me, who hasn't come from any kind of business or marketing background, are clueless. So that's really, really helpful as well to make sure that I don't launch oblivious to things that are really important to make sure are in place. And I mean, really what's happening now is I'm preparing for my final assessment, which is really guided so that you give us lots of things to think about. And obviously we're not just regurgitating what we've learned. It's sort of analyzing our process, analyzing how we're going to use that in coaching, light bulb moments we had. But what I was doing in the half term previously was doing my assessment, but then thinking about all of those things, because that's going to be very helpful for copy for my website. Right. So at the same time, I did a lot of research. I looked at a lot of people's websites who are in this wellness space, made notes, looked at different website providers, thought about ethics, thought about money. And I haven't jumped anywhere yet, but I'm kind of, you know, ready. I'm really well prepared. But by also thinking about my notes from the course and working stuff out, that's going to really help me define, come up with those lovely, you know, 50 word statements where you want to say everything that sums you up and what you were going to offer and how you might be slightly different from other people on the market. And that's tricky. That's a tricky bit, but it's going to be, I think it's just really supportive because there's so much encouragement on your course for self-reflection and the impact that doing that work has had, that then you start working stuff out, you know, so which age groups do I want to work with? Who do I maybe want to avoid working with so much? And, you know, it really narrows down, which you want, I think, in business. You don't want to say, I will take anybody. You know, I think it's quite good to have some kind of a specialism to offer. So for me, I think it was actually Kate Codrington that came up with bookends. So I like the teenagers, the tweens and teens, and I like their mums who are in the 50s. So it's puberty and perimenopause is probably where I'm going to put my efforts.
Have you come across Laura Cowan?
No.
Okay, well, she's also on the podcast a couple of weeks before this one goes out, and she was a student of mine too, and she lives in a different part of the UK, but she's doing girls, not teenagers, but girls, and she does girls and mums stuff. So the kind of the before they get their period age, and then the mums is too. So she's kind of similar idea to you, but different kind of people, I guess. that's really smart because she can work with them separately and together, do you know, which is, I think it's clever. And the same for you. You know, I imagine that if you are a coach, or sorry, if you're a mom and you're sending your daughter to a coach, you would want to do a consult, like you want to be there in at least in the first meeting with them. Do you know what I mean? So yes, that's important. And to think about the, all of those important things that are, yeah, they're really important. So, wow, Kristen, you've really thought it all through. Thank you for your testimonial and sharing your experience on the program. It's so great to hear. You've been such a great student doing all of that and reflecting. And I'm just so grateful to you for trusting me. And like, I'm glad, like, you know where the things are in the manual, you know, you've done your work. So I've no doubt you're going to just hit the ground running now and you're thinking like a businesswoman now, which is amazing. Another little, I think I mentioned this in the course, but it's for anyone else who's listening and who's really aligning with everything that Kristen is saying. When you're doing copywriting, which is what you were talking about with choosing the language for your website and trying to decide those 50 words of all the things, it's really hard. I find that hard too. I had someone tell me, go to the book reviews on Amazon. Did I mention that in the program? And I thought that was just genius, you know, because that's where you see your ideal client reads those books and then they're kind of using terminology that's more everyday than the sciencey stuff, you know, so.
Exactly, because we can get a bit, you know, especially when you're in the community of the academy.
Yeah,
we kind of talk a bit more of a different speak. You know, there are expressions we use, which I know that when I say it sometimes at work, people say, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah,
explain. Can you explain it? Menstruality. Yeah. When did it have an itty at the end?
Dysregulation and sympathetic response and all. It's just not. That's not what people are saying. Things like, "Oh, I'm just like it's the bane of my life, my period." That's the kind of language they use, or "I'm banging my head against the wall with this particular issue," or you know, normal phrasing like that. And it's important that we remember that because we need to be able to speak to our clients, especially with a topic that's so intimate and personal and vulnerable. It's how we build trust, isn't it? By using their language. So anything else you want to share before we head off, Kristen? Thank you so much for being here.
I would encourage people to think about taking the coaching course because, like for me, I would like to do some coaching. I probably will have one-to-one coaching clients, but I'm also really, really interested in gathering people together. So I love the idea of having a sort of membership for young teens and tweens. But I also love the idea of just having gatherings. So getting women together to, you know, usually by the time you're about 40, 45, you just want to go deep. You don't want to have small talk. No. You just want to get together and ask really nitty gritty questions about, you know, what is happening to your body? What's happening in your life right now? How are you coping? And just creating those safe sort of sister circle spaces. So being a facilitator as well is something that you can use this course for.
Yeah.
And my northern light, I know North Star, and you always talk about a North Star as well. And mine is the expression, go tell the people. Mm. So I just love the idea of spreading the word. I think it's so important for us women to work together, to collaborate, especially in the wellness space and beyond, and just spread this message that, you know, you can have a healthy menstrual cycle. There are things you can do to help yourself if you are suffering a lot with pain and different issues like that. If you're trying to conceive, there are so many things that we know about now that we can share with each other and help each other and lift each other up. So that's always my abiding conviction.
Oh, I love it, Kristen. And that's such a great encouragement and message of hope to people. And I would just reiterate that, like, you know, that the same, I agree. And I think often people forget that process work, which I need to find a better term for, but that idea of like reflection and rewriting your relationship with your menstrual cycle, with yourself, with your emotions, etc., in relationships with others, you can, without needing to start changing everything in your diet and taking a million supplements, you can actually have a lot of healing benefits from doing that inner work, you know, working on the nervous system level. So the hope is there and the work is there. It's available and there's people teaching it. And Kristen is one of them now. So thank you, Kristen, for stepping up. It's so exciting. Do you have a social media? You're working on a website. Do you have a sense of your domain name, or where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Yeah, so I have two Instagram. So for tweens and teens, it's at Girls Up Club. And for women, older women, 20 and over, it's at this.red.thread. This red thread.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. I will make sure that those are in the show notes of this video, YouTube video, and Spotify and Apple podcast. Wherever you're listening, it's in the show notes. Go ahead and follow Kristen, and you can connect with her there. And that's it. Thanks everyone so much for listening. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being here today and sharing just everything you've shared. It's been so inspiring. And for anyone interested in joining, the doors are now open for the 2026 course. We're starting in July. We're keeping it contained this year in 1 year. It'll be July to December 2026. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me. Just get in touch and we can have a chit chat. And that's it. Have a great day, everyone. See you, Kristen. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.